That's even better than good news. That's great news from Jerusalem. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Before he starts preaching, I just want to thank all of y'all for your prayers with Kevin. I got a call at 10 o'clock Monday morning. His speaking tube was in. So I went up there and got it, put it in. He's fine. No problem at all. And another thing on top of that, so I was on a roll with that. So I emailed the company that makes them. Because they cost $175 in Medicare, Medicaid, no insurance will pay for it. So anyway, that's just money thrown in the trash. And I said, I've been buying these things for 35 years. I've never had a problem. I don't have $175 just to throw away. Would you consider replacing it? And a nurse wrote me back. So this medical equipment company has got an RN on staff, which is a good thing. And her first sentence said, I'm sorry this happened, but the first... Is your son okay, and was he injured? I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. So anyway, make a long story short, they are mailing me a replacement. And that's wonderful.
Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. God likes to work when nothing else will. Amen. God is so gracious and good. Appreciate his wonderful blessings and appreciate you being here tonight. Amen. How many is blessed in the house tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Genesis tonight. And I, Sister Penny said whether he preaches or Bible studies, I don't really know myself sometimes. But we'll take off. We'll start anyway and we'll see how it ends up. Yeah, I'm still a little loud, I think. A little bit loud. But anyway, from the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, look at the first six verses tonight, if we would, to start off with. Genesis chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Amen. Let's bow our heads now. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your many, many blessings. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your abundant grace. Father, we thank for this time together tonight, God, in one mind and one accord, and pray your blessing, God, upon the balance of this service tonight. Father, we do thank you, God, for those who have come together tonight, and I pray, God, that you would just lead us and guide us with your Holy Spirit. We do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted tonight. And Father, we pray a very special prayer of healing for their part. God, just touch them, strengthen them, and anoint them. Asking now, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay. God, as we attempt to bring tonight what we feel that you've laid upon our heart, God, let it be growth and edification into our spirit. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You can't praise him enough. I may walk around. I don't know. Sometimes if I don't, I feel a little tied down. But tonight I want to bring a message or a topic maybe. And I battled with this a little bit about the title, but this is the way that I was impressed about it. This is the title. Sometimes God asks hard things. Sometimes God asks hard things. You know, as children of God, I believe that we sometimes, because I don't know if the word is spoiled, but a little expected of the things that God does for us. And Sister Susan kind of summed it up a while ago. She says, I'm just thankful. You know, just then she began to name off the things that she was thankful for, and we do need to take time to be thankful for those things. But sometimes, in looking back in Bible history, sometimes that some of the things that God asked out of some of the people in the Bible, and even the things that he asks out of us today, not always the most pleasant, joyous, happy things that our flesh wants to do. But I believe that if we'll be obedient unto God, then God will get the glory. I heard someone speaking this week about the inadequacy of man. It was Brother Charles Stanley. Many of you know him, and he has a devotional in the morning and all, and he was speaking on the inadequacy of man and how God takes that inadequacy and through his adequacy or through his ability makes that man to become adequate in the things that God asked him to do. And I began to, you know, just pray and study, and then I began to think. I was in the woods this week, and I was nothing else to do but read Scripture. So I was reading Scripture, and it came to my mind about the sacrifice that Abraham made. And I began to think, not only him, but many others that God, and we're going to go back and we're going to talk about Abraham specifically tonight, but I want to remind us tonight, first of all, as I said, sometimes God asks us to do hard things. Not that it's hard for him, okay? But how many believes that all things are possible? Amen, with God. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask or think. Sometimes the things that he lays on our heart, the things that he impresses us to do, sometimes on first looking at it, we say, Lord, I just can't do that. That's going to be too hard. It's going to be impossible. You need to get somebody else. Lord, you know, I'd be willing, but I don't have the ability. You need to call on somebody else, or you need to lay that on somebody else. But I thought about this. When God calls us, he actually qualifies us. He does, first of all, he does three things. And he always will do these three things. Whenever he petitions us or asks us or impresses us to do something, amen, that we feel uncomfortable about doing or something that we think would be too hard for us to do. First of all, he equips us. Amen. You know, he doesn't choose us because we already have the equipment. Somebody said it like this. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So many of the people in the Bible that God called on were not really qualified, not really the one, if you were hand-picking somebody to do that certain mission or ministry or act, whatever God wanted to do, you probably wouldn't have picked that person. But that's because God doesn't want that person to get the glory. He wants to get the glory. I think about little David and how that he came against the giants. You know, if that had been Saul or one of David's older brothers, then Israel would have been, you know, oh boy, look at what they did. But this way they knew that it had to come through the power of God. And even David himself told Goliath, he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. You come to me with spear and sword, but I know that I'm no match for you, but I know he that is with me is greater, amen, than the one I'm facing. So if God ever calls us and we're uncomfortable about doing something or stepping out, always remember that God will always equip us. Now, the second thing he will always do, he always guides us. He doesn't always map out the journey for us and give it to us, but he guides us maybe a step at a time. And that's all he's asking us to do, if you'll just step out on faith. So many times we want to know every little detail about what he has called us to do. We want to know every little specific thing there is about that. And then after we've looked it over and studied it, then we'll say, okay, Lord, then I'll be obedient. But God doesn't work that way. He guides us many times, step by step, day by day, situation by situation. The reason being, if he give us all of that mapped out, we would depend on our own ability and not depend on him. How many knows that we take one step at a time, one day at a time? I love that song. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Amen. That lets me know that all I need to know is the Lord's going to take care of me today. Don't worry about tomorrow, because he'll take care of me then as well. He will guide us whenever he asks us or to do something that we think is too hard. And thirdly tonight, always there's a blessing in it. Every single time there was a blessing. What seemed to be an impossibility, what seemed to be too difficult, what seemed to be something that the person in the Bible or whoever it was could not do, if they go through those steps and they finally become submissive unto the Lord and say, Lord, I will do what you've asked me to do, or I'll just go by faith, there's always a blessing in it. And let me tell you, sometimes it's not just the blessing of the one who's going out, but it's a blessing to others. And God always blesses obedience. Amen. But sometimes God asks sacrifice out of us. Think about the sacrifice he made when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. So I'm going to mention some names tonight, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at one in particular. First of all, Noah. How many realize that that was a great task that God placed on man? Do you realize, and I'm not really sure, I know the Bible gives all of the specifics on the size and the dimensions of that thing, and in fact how long it took to make, but can you imagine without the tools of today how long it would take to construct an ark the size of that particular thing? They say they have one that is a replica. Is it in Kentucky, Virginia, somewhere up in there, and they have a commercial on it now about the giraffes. You know, they say, oh, we're going up there to see that, and I thought about that too, and I thought about how difficult that was, and you know, if God placed something like that on my heart, first thing I said, I'm not a carpenter. I don't even know where to start. But again, he equips us, he guides us, and he blesses us. So Noah, being obedient unto the Lord, was able to construct the ark by God's complete and uninterrupted supervision. He was with him each and every moment of that time that he built the ark. Again, Abraham, and we're going to come back, and I'm just going to mention him now, but we're going to come back and spend some time on Abraham. And then Moses. You know, Moses, God asked him, you need to go back to Egypt. Well, why did Moses leave Egypt to begin with? He had actually killed one of the Egyptians' guards or whatever it was, because he was beating one of the Israelites. And Moses, you know, even though he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh, he was an Israelite. And so it struck him the wrong way. So he took it upon himself and he slew him. And then he realized, you know, I'm going to have to be a fugitive, so he takes off. And now he knows if he returns, then the wrath of Pharaoh is going to be on him, and probably in prison, probably death. But then God asks, I need you to go back to Egypt. And you know, what does Moses say? You know, well, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do it. God will equip us. He said, take Aaron, your brother. Aaron, who became the priest. God always makes a way. For every excuse, God can give us, amen, a solution, if we'll just be submissive to him and obedient. So there was Moses, a very hard and difficult thing for him to do. And we think about God's grace. This is where I want to go. We think about his mercy. We think about his love. We think about his abundant blessings. And all of that is very, very true. But I don't think God just really made it so that we would be all that comfortable down here, because we don't want to get adjusted to this life. We don't want to get adjusted to this way, because we got something better to go to. So sometimes there may be a petition, sometimes there may be a sacrifice that is warranted on our part that God has requested us to do, and we should be obedient and we should be willing to do that, even if it's not the most convenient, the most pleasant, or the most, flesh-appealing thing to us. Because sometimes through sacrifice, there comes a great, great blessing. The other one was Joshua, certainly, after he took, just stepping in the shoes of Moses, the great leader. You know, that was a great responsibility. And not only that, but to take them into the promised land and then to fight the walled city of Jericho and obey God, march around and then do all the shouting and blowing on the trumpets. And that was a hard thing to do, because, back in your mind, so we're going to march around that city and they're going to be picking us off like flies down there. It's a hard thing to do. But he put forth a sacrifice, and God blessed, because he equipped him, he guided him, and he blessed him. I think about Gideon. And how that Gideon was threshing in the thresh floor. And the angel of the Lord came and told him, called him a mighty warrior. If you read the story of Gideon, And Gideon says, not me. I'm not a mighty warrior. We're just farmers. We're kind of the least of the people here. But God has called you. He called him, oh, mighty warrior. And God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't even realize that was in himself. But Gideon became a great leader and was able to be victorious through the children of Israel when rooting out the Midianites that were in that land. Because up until that time, the Midianites had them oppressed and had were burning cities and things like that. And God raised up a person and it happened to be Gideon. Probably, if anybody was going to handpick a captain of their army, it would not have been Gideon. Because sometimes God asks hard things for us to do. Again, not hard on His part, but hard on our part. And I know those are in the Old Testament. But I'll bring you up into the New Testament. And we think about the love of God. And we think about the blessings and how that we go to the Lord. And we're really quick to ask Him for guidance. We're asking Him for blessing, for anointing, for working out situations, for healing and all of that. And God, He wants us to do that. But think about this, when God put it in Joseph's heart and in Mary to do what God had sanctioned them to do, think about the public ridicule. Think about all that went in. We love the story. We love the story of the virgin birth. We love the story of the little manger scene and the little barn in the stable where Jesus was born of lowly measures and all. But think about what went through Joseph's mind. Think about how hard it was. Think about Mary, how difficult it was. Because very strict times, Mosaic law was still in place and all of those things. But God saw something and God knew something in them, and there, out of their union was going to come a great blessing. In fact, the sacrificial lamb, the Messiah. But sometimes we say, Lord, I can't do that. You know, Lord, that's going to be an impossibility. So those are just some that I mentioned. But now I want to go back and talk about Abraham. In my mind, and I'm going to confess, in my mind, every time I preached on Abraham obeying the Lord, and he actually did that a couple of times. The first time was when he had to leave his homeland, he had to leave his family, had to leave everything that was near and dear to him and just go. And God didn't even tell him where we're going. He said, just go. And he led him and he guided him to the land of Canaan. But Abram didn't know where they were going. Second thing he had to do, how many remember, she said, take thy son Isaac, thine only son, to a place where I'm going to tell you, and there build an altar and sacrifice him to me. Sometimes God asks hard things, very difficult things. But Abraham, in both cases, was submissive and obedient unto God. But I want to talk about the first one. I want to talk about Abraham leaving Haran. In the preceding chapter, there are the genealogies. Someone has said it was about 400 and something years after the flood when Abram was about 75 years old. I don't know. I haven't checked the math. I haven't checked the genealogy. I was just kind of going by what somebody said. So I passed that on, not as absolute, but probably in that area somewhere. And it goes through the genealogy of his dad, his granddad, and all of that. But you think about the families, you think about the relationships, you think about the familiarity of that particular place of Haran where he was living. In fact, one of his relatives, an uncle or a granddad or something, was named Haran. So I don't know if the land was named for him or he was named for the land. But anyway, my point is, quite comfortable in that surrounding. Doing what the Lord wants me to do, being a good man. He was a righteous man. I believe he was a praying man. I believe he was obedient unto God. And everything seemingly was going well. If you read the history, Abraham, and in fact, what he tells when he got all of his gatherings and everything, he was a very wealthy man. In fact, that goes all the way back to the genealogy. He came from a very wealthy family because they'd been able to amass a great deal of earthly possessions and people that worked for him and all that kind of thing. And then you think about, but when I was thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking about, well, you know, God said, Abraham, you know, take your family. And I'm thinking, well, he just, you know, rolled up his tents. Because in my mind, that's basically what I figured. They just lived in some tents. And I guess I thought they were kind of more nomadic and maybe it wouldn't be that big a deal to break camp and just take what few possessions he had and and his family members and move his tents and set up somewhere in the promised land or where God was sending him to. But I was really taken back when I began to research it. There was a man by the name of C. Leonard Woolley who happened to be a British archaeologist. You can Google him, you can look him up, and he was very renowned and he was very precise. He was one of the first ones that did actually the slow dig, not with equipment stuff, but the little hand digging with the brushing and stuff and off. And he's credited with uncovering just ancient history that goes way, way back. Was interested to read this particular part here. Abram's hometown was Ur of the Chaldeans. As the result of extensive archaeology excavations there by C. Leonard Woolley from 1922 to 1934, how many remembers that, by the way? Saw it on television, you know. A great deal is known about Abram's background. Space would not permit more than a glimpse at excavated Ur. But a few items will show the high state of civilization. How many ever get an imagination when you're reading the Bible and you think about, you know, where they lived? And I'm thinking, you know, with his cattle and his sheep and stuff, he probably just lived in one of those tents. And many people did. But it says, the entire house of the average middle-class person had from 10 to 20 rooms and measured 40 to 52 feet. The lower floor was for servants, the upper floor for the family, with 5 rooms for their use. Additionally, there was a guest chamber and a lavatory reserved for visitors, and a private chapel. A school was found, and what the students studied was shown by the clay tablets discovered there. In the days of Abram, the pupils had reading, writing, arithmetic as today. They learned the multiplication table and division tables, and even worked at square and cube root. Even geometry. A bill of lading about 2040 B.C. Before television. Long time ago. About the era in which Abram is believed to have lived. This is the land of Ur. Showed that the commerce of that time was far reaching. Even the name Abraham has been found on the excavated clay tablets. It kind of destroyed my little imaginary thoughts of where Abram and his family lived and what it wouldn't be that big a deal to leave that home to go to another place. But you're talking about generations of building and in one place, I left out a whole lot, but there's in another place, they said that it was built, and it was built archaeologically, that the corners of the streets, they were so narrow that the corners of the buildings were not square, but they were rounded. They actually had the stones rounded. And they surmised that was because that the pack mules and the camels, that when they would go through those narrow streets, they would have the bags and stuff on back. They could go around and navigate the corners without bumping and knocking stuff off. These were not just uneducated people or people who just lived in tents. They had a full civilization. Point being, Abraham or Abram, I need you to leave this. Kind of put a new light on it when I, you know, it might not have been so hard to leave some tents or some shacks or some shelters and go to another place. But to leave generations and homes, buildings where had servants on the bottom floor and then the family and then even guest chambers upstairs with lavatories. We're not talking 1960 here. We're talking, these were actual things that were discovered by this archaeological team that went on for several years. And it shed a new light on the land of Ur and the sacrifice that Abraham made. Because I don't read where Abram said, "You know, God, you're asking a big thing. I don't know if I can do this. I got relationships here. I got business deals here. I've got, this is my home. This is where I met my wife. This is where I was born. This is where Dad," you know. It doesn't say that. In fact, what it does say, "So Abram departed." That's a hard thing. And I thought about God. There's times you're going to expect sacrifice out of us. There's times when we want you to do something, but we want the easy road out, the road to blessings and anointing. But sometimes your greatest blessings, and look what happened. I mean, we don't even have time to get into what happened when he came, because Abraham was known as the father of Israel. He's the father of Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob became Israel, and he got every bit of that came from just Isaac, because God said, "I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in a place and I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Your seed will be so much that they can't even count them. It'll be like the sands of the sea," and all that. And then he tells him, "Now take Isaac and sacrifice him," just to see if Abraham was really obedient and submissive, and he was. So out of that, out of his willingness to leave that, and I thought, "Lord, that's, you're asking a lot." Amen? But sometimes God requires sacrifice out of us. Sacrifice is not pleasant. Sacrifice is hard. But blessings are openly received and greatly valued. But sometimes blessings may come through sacrifice. Obedience. Obedience unto the Lord. Obedience unto His will. Obedience unto His word. And this is what Abraham did. And Abraham, I love this part right here. In verse number 5. Of course, he took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Semicolon. And into the land of Canaan they came. We read that, but listen, you know what that tells me? He followed through on his commitment. How many knows every trip you start to take don't mean you've reached your destination? You ever got frustrated and turned around and went home? You ever started a project and throwed it away and said, you know, that's it? Not him. They headed out to Canaan, and then that love for them, and into Canaan they came. Into the blessing they came. Into the promise they came. Glory to God. Into God's will they came. Why? Certainly because of obedience, but also because of sacrifice. So when we question God, we get a little upset with God in our flesh when God requires something out of us. Maybe a little more time. Maybe a little more obedience. Maybe a little deeper in the Word. Maybe stepping out in a ministry that we're not comfortable with. See, many of us just want to do the things that God has blessed us with and made us comfortable in. So maybe sometimes God wants to get you out of that comfort zone and place you into something else, because if through your sacrifice, there's going to come a great, great blessing. Not only for you, amen, but for others too. Because as you step into God's ministry, others will be blessed. What are sacrifices? Well, you know, we've talked about it. Some of the things that you give up for a little while. Some of the things that you say, "Well, you know what, instead of doing this today, I'm going to get in my Bible, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray. Or instead of doing this today, I'm going to call 3 or 4 people and just tell them how much God loves them," or you know, all of those things. And those are unpleasant things, you think about it. How many has ever done any cold calling whatsoever? whether it be in a job, whether it be in visitation. Let me ask it this way, and not to embarrass anybody, but don't even have to raise your hand. How many's ever went cold calling on visitation for church? Just nod your head. You've done that. How many just really was excited about doing that? I'm not. I can tell you. You don't know who's on the other side of that door, right? You don't know if it's going to be slammed in your face. You don't know if they're going to cuss you out. You don't know if they're going to answer. Like the one little boy said, Mama said she wasn't at home. Okay. Well, tell her when she gets back. Come to church. We're right down the street. But through that sacrifice, what if you knocked on 20 doors? 10 of them wasn't at home, or said they wasn't. 5 of them were polite, but we ain't got time for you. Thank you for stopping by. But one of them said, you know what? That means so much that you would come by. Actually, I've been having it pretty hard. I know I need to get into church. And what if through your unpleasant sacrifice of knocking on 20 doors, having 10 not at home, 5 polite but not receptive, and you get that one door, and there's such a hunger there, and you lead them to Christ? Because isn't that our main objective? Oh, we'd love for them to come to church. Don't get me wrong. We'd love for them to be a part of this church. But shouldn't our main objective be to lead them to Christ? And what if during that time they actually ask you into their home, and before you left, they ask you to have a word of prayer with them? Because of the sacrifice, because I don't know why the preacher said we need to go knock on doors. He needs to do that. Don't ask me to. But what if that sacrifice that was unpleasant, that God sometimes asks hard things out of us? And I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, God, I don't want the hard things. I don't want to break line for the hard things. How about you? I don't want to, you know, somebody said, you know, told me when I was young, said, no, don't ever pray for patience. Because God will answer your prayer. And patience comes through hardship. Patience comes through all of this kind of stuff. So I'm very kind of reluctant to pray for patience. But, you know, I don't think we pray, God, just send a great burden on me, so I'll humble myself down. So I'll get to where I need to be with you and open up that receptiveness to your spirit and to your voice. Well, we may not pray that prayer, but when God does something that maybe requires a little more of our time, a little more of our focus, and man, we're maxed out on our schedule. We can't fit that in. What if we just be like Abraham and say, okay, don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's down the road. I don't know what he has in store for me, but he's laid it on my heart. And he said, I'm going. And Abram departed. And God did the rest. Sometimes that's all he needs, is just a willing servant. Somebody not to question him, not to offer every excuse in the world. I've done that. Amen. It took me 2 years of running. I mean absolutely running. Trying to get away from God's calling. Not happy for that. I'm just honest, making an honest confession. But when the Lord lays something on your heart, may not always be the most pleasant thing. May not be what you wanted to do. Amen. I'll try to close with this. Just an analogy. How many has ever been in school play? Been in school play? How many has ever been the star in a school play? There was a school play that we was doing, and it was kind of a farming type setting, and there were several characters with speaking parts, and You know, sometimes you don't really volunteer, but you'd like to get one of those good speaking parts. Well, when the place and the names and all was handed out, I was to be the scarecrow with no speaking part. Just
this straw, a hat in hand, a broom, remember, put the broomstick, so I hold my hands out on that, put straw all around like that. That was not a part that I volunteered for, but it was an unpleasant thing. But that's what they asked me to do.
Spiritually, if God asks us to be a scarecrow, can we just do it? Can we just do it? Maybe that's not a good analogy, but it kind of gets the point across. Whatever God asks us to do. And again, sometimes God asks hard things. Hard things. Now, that's not my comfort zone. I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, have you ever stopped to think, maybe that's the reason God asks you to do it? Because if you give it to somebody who was comfortable with it, nobody would pay that much attention. Oh, they're always doing that. But what if he gives it to somebody that's not comfortable doing that? And then everybody, wow, look what a blessing. I'd have never thought that out of that person. Sometimes God asks hard things. Not that it's hard for him, but sometimes it's hard for us to be obedient to it. God bless you. Anybody want to comment?
Anybody as shocked as I was? What Abraham left behind? Lord have mercy. If you want to get more detail, go ahead
and look up that name and the archaeology that he did. And I mean, he had other great discoveries too, but he spent so long on this one in the land of Ur, which dated back to Abraham's lineage and his genealogy. And I was quite taken back with all of the modernization that actually they was able to uncover there. So when we say that Abraham just left a few little old shacks behind, that's not the case. He left a pretty substantial living and a pretty substantial place where he and his family dwelt. So I was impressed with that. Just wanted to share that with you tonight. But sometimes God does ask some hard things out of us. Would you stand? We're going to have prayer tonight. We have Sister Joe that needs prayer. We're going to anoint a prayer cloth on her behalf. Also, I meant to say that under request and prayer, Brother Jim McCoy has gone to a family funeral. I think it was an aunt that he was going to have to speak at. So he was requesting prayer because he said he had never done that before. They're asking him to sing and also to do the eulogy. So he was really, we had prayer about it this morning. He was kind of nervous about it. And two, he said his throat was acting up. So let's remember him in prayer too. So if some of you elders and all gather around, we're going to anoint this prayer cloth for Sister Joanne tonight. Pray that God will touch her. Man.